to meet the Lord. We're in Revelation chapter 12. In our sermon series through the book of Revelation, we're working our way through a period called the Great Tribulation. As we move into chapter 12, we're actually kind of backtracking here. John saw the moment nearing when the Lord Jesus will come back to defeat his enemies, to establish his kingdom here on earth. But instead of talking about that moment now, in the next three chapters, chapter 12, 13, and 14, we're taken back to the beginning and again brought through it, this time through the devil's perspective. In chapters 4 through 11, there was a chronology of the tribulation. But chapters 12 through 14 focus more on the characters of the tribulation. In chapters 4 through 11, the Lord Jesus is the focus. In chapters 12 and 13, the Antichrist is going to be the focus. In chapters 4 through 11, we got a broad picture of the tribulation, kind of looking through a telescope. But in chapters 12 through 14, we're given more details as though we're looking through a microscope. Now, it's really important for us to understand chapter 12. It helps us understand the book of Revelation. Remember, back in chapter 4 and 5, there was that seven-sealed book that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, written within and without, on the front side and on the back side. Well, I guess we've covered the front side. Now we're ready to look at the back side of what's written there. Matter of fact, chapter 12, we're going to understand a little bit better why there's so much anti-Semitism in the world today. The Jewish people are the most hated people on earth. Why is that? I think chapter 12 is going to explain some of that to us. I've told you before, Israel is the key to end time prophecy. It is God's yardstick, it is God's measuring rod, it's God's blueprint, his program for what is about to come upon this world. God's not forgotten Israel. Israel is still key to what God is going to do. And we know they're hated. There's groups like the Nazi Party, the Ku Klux Klan, the radical Muslim groups. They just hate and persecute the Jews and Israel. Why is that? It's important for us to understand chapter 12. I said we're going to be looking at characters in the next two chapters. I think we've got an outline of that we can share with you on the screen. There's seven key figures. I gave you a chart when we started this, and we still have some of these out in the lobby, and what you see there is part of this chart. We're kind of in a parenthetical situation again. In the next few chapters, we're going to be looking at the woman Israel, the red dragon, which is Satan, the male child is Jesus Christ, Michael, the archangel, is involved here. There's the remnant of Israel that will be saved. There's the Antichrist, the beast out of the sea. Then there's the false prophet, the beast out of the earth. So these seven key figures we're going to be looking at closely in these next two chapters. So let's read our text this morning in Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. If you want to stand with me to honor God's word, you may do so. John says in verse 1, chapter 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Or again, 3.5 years. We're going to stop there. You may be seated. We're going to talk today about the Wonder Woman and the dreadful dragon. Who is this Wonder Woman that we're reading about here? First of all, let's think about the appearance of the woman. The word wonder refers to a supernatural sign, and it would indicate what we see here is symbolic. John sees a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. On her head are 12 stars. Now, obviously, this is not a real woman. This is symbolic of something. And we think about the identification of this woman. Again, as you read different commentators, you get different ideas. But I think it's very obvious who this is referring to. This is talking about Israel. The nation of Israel is symbolized in this woman. There's only one place in the Old Testament where these symbols are brought out. That is in Genesis chapter 37. If you remember, God gave Joseph a series of dreams that were prophetic. In his second dream, we read in Genesis 37 verse 9, God gives him a prophecy. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me," or bowed down to Joseph. That was prophecy because, if you know the story of Joseph, he ends up in Egypt. He becomes the second ruler of Egypt. And his family comes in and bows down to him to receive food during a famine. So he sees this, and it does come to pass. Here you see the stars, the sun and the moon. The only other time in the Bible you see this symbol. Jacob is the sun, Rachel is the moon. The 12 stars are the 12 sons or the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's plainly speaking of Israel in Revelation chapter 12. Now some say, well, is this not the Virgin Mary? She gave birth to the Lord Jesus. Well, verse 6 would not apply to Mary. Verses 13 through 17 would not apply to Mary. This is obviously speaking of a group of people, talking about the nation of Israel. And Jesus came to us from Israel. Israel produced the Messiah for us. Others say, well, could this not be the church? Is not the church spoken of as a woman? She's the bride of Christ, right? Well, that's true. But the church did not give birth to Jesus. Jesus gave birth to the church. The church was established by the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. Did you know in the Old Testament that Israel is called the wife of Jehovah? She's called the wife of Jehovah. Write this verse down. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 5 and 6. Here God is speaking to Israel. And he tells them, "For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee, Israel, as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth." So, again, we see Israel spoken of as a woman, and even as the wife of Jehovah, who will bear the Messiah. Jesus came from Israel. Folks, Israel is God ordained, it's God called, it's God protected, God blessed. That's Israel. Goes back to Abraham. God told Abraham that he would make a great nation of the descendants of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God says to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee all families of the earth will be blessed. Amen? Hey, folks, we're blessed because of Israel. We serve a Jewish Messiah. We have basically a Jewish book. This was written by the Jews. We are in a church that began as a Jewish church. The first church in Jerusalem was a Jewish church. The apostles that went out planting churches were Jews. So we've got a lot to be thankful to Israel for. That's why we pray that God blesses Israel, because we want to bless him. We are blessed when we bless Israel. My friend, if you hate Israel, you're on shaky ground. If you curse Israel, then you may be under a curse. God's going to curse those who curse Israel. So we see the sign of the woman. And secondly, we see the seed of the woman. She's described as being in labor. That's what Labor Day is all about tomorrow. Amen. She's in labor, about to give birth. Now that child is clearly defined in verse 5. It's obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, it's from the nation of Israel that Jesus came unto us. Born of a Jewish mother. He has a Jewish heritage. He's called the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew gives his Jewish genealogy, Matthew chapter 1. I told you before, I love to go to one for Israel and listen to these Jews getting saved and testifying. And it just boggles my mind how many of them say that they had no idea Jesus was a Jew. It seems the rabbis tell their people that Jesus was a Catholic who started the Catholic Church, and he was Roman. They go to Matthew chapter 1, and they are flabbergasted to find out Jesus has a Jewish genealogy, traced back through David, back to Abraham. So, if you got any Jewish friends, you might tell them Jesus was a Jew. We serve a Jewish Messiah. And John sees him here in verse 5 as the ruling one and as the resurrected one and as the ascended one. He was caught up. That speaks of his ascension. Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross, rose again, and then ascended back into heaven to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's the seed of the woman, that's Jesus. And then thirdly, there's the suffering of the woman. We talked about her labor and birth pains. And I think it kind of speaks to the fact that Israel, for a long time, they longed for their Messiah to come. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of the coming Messiah. He was the great hope of that nation. He was the ringing theme of the prophets. He was the grand climax through which everything else is pointing. I think every devout Jewish mother hoped that she would be the mother of the Messiah. That finally came true with Mary of Nazareth. Every day, I read many Orthodox traditional Jews, every day they recite this. They say, I believe with perfect faith in the advent of the Messiah, and though he may tarry, I will await his arrival every day. Now, they're waiting for the first coming of their Messiah. Now, we can say that about the second coming. Every day, though he may tarry, we wait for his arrival. You know, on the Passover meal that they would observe, It was tradition, as each family observed Passover, that they would open the door so Elijah could come in and join them. That goes back to Malachi's prophecy that Elijah would precede the coming of Messiah. And they would set a place at their table for Messiah, should he come. Sadly, the Jews did not realize Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah that they were looking for. But they didn't receive him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, that Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. He came to Israel, and they received him not. Now, many Jews were saved, but Israel as a nation, following her leaders, rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So, they're looking for Messiah to come, not realizing he's already come. But I rejoice in knowing many Jews are getting saved today. That just blesses my heart to know that thousands of Jews in Israel are coming to Christ and trusting in him. They call him Yeshua, the Hebrew name. Jesus is a Greek name for a Hebrew name. Joshua is how we say it, but actually there's no J sound in the Hebrew tongue. They replace that with a Y sound, so not Joshua, it's Yeshua. And many Jews are putting their faith in Yeshua of Nazareth. Second thing I want you to see this morning is the adversary of the woman. There's a second wonder that appears. There's the wonder woman. Then there's the dreadful dragon, who is the adversary of the woman Israel. That's cute, isn't it? I don't know what John saw, but he saw something pretty monstrous. To show, it's really, that's not what the devil looks like. Now, you got a lot of people, they've got in this idea of the devil being some kind of a cartoon character. A red monster with a tail and a pitchfork and all this. And maybe that comes from this description. But what's being described here is not so much his visible appearance as his character. This speaks of his character. He's a dragon, he's a beast, he's a serpent. All these things describe the devil. So we see the features of the red dragon. He's red. He's a dragon, first of all, which pictures fierceness, brutality. He's red, a color of war and death and bloodshed. The Bible says he's a murderer, right? Jesus said that in John 8:44. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He is a liar and the father of all lies. John says he has seven heads, which speaks of wisdom. Now the devil, his wisdom is evil. There's an evil genius about Satan. In Ezekiel 28, verse 12, which describes Lucifer, it says that thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. So, he's not like that dragon in appearance. He's beautiful, a beautiful angel. He comes to people as an angel of light to deceive. But what we got here is a description of his character. Red horns speak of power. Now, he's not all-powerful like God is, but he is powerful. Seven crowns upon his head, a symbol of authority. Matter of fact, if all this sounds familiar, you go back to Daniel, and Daniel saw these same things. The seven heads, the horns, all of this was in some of Daniel's prophecy referring to the revived Roman Empire. So you see the features of the red dragon. Then notice the fall. The fall of the red dragon. Back in chapter 12, verse 4, says his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, these stars are angels. He drew a third part of the angelic host that followed him in his rebellion and were cast out along with Lucifer. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. This is speaking of the devil when he was first rebelled against God. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars or above the angels of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. How art thou fallen? Cast down." And along with him, a third of the angels were cast down with him. Now, you may think, boy, that's millions of demons. That might make you nervous. But let me remind you that two-thirds of the angels are still true to God. Got them outnumbered 2-1, amen? That make you feel better? Amen. Two-thirds of the angelic host are still true and faithful in serving the Lord God. But since the fall of Lucifer, and he tempts Adam and Eve and deceives them and causes them also to fall into sin, he usurps the authority, dominion given to Adam and Eve by God. That's why he's called the God of this world. The authority he has usurped from those that God had given it to. It may surprise you that Satan has access to heaven. Now, he was cast out. He was defeated by Michael. But he is allowed to move about in freedom. He's not locked up. And he's kind of like he's out on bail. And every once in a while, he's got to report to the bail officer, his parole officer. He's got to report to God. We find that in the book of Job, don't we? Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence cometh thou?" As if he didn't know. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." So what's all this about? Satan has to present himself to God to give an account for his activities. See, the devil is limited on what he is allowed to do. What he can do, what he cannot do, is limited by God. Now, it may be a puzzle why God lets him do what he does do. Maybe we'll know that someday. But it's all part of God's great plan to vindicate his holy name, which Satan has slandered and continues to slander. But one day, the devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire with all of his demons. That will be their eternal prison. Write this verse down. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Now these are the lost people who do not trust in Christ. They're going to be cast into the everlasting fire. But notice this. Prepared for the devil and his angels. God created hell for Satan and his demons. Now, my friend, if you go to hell, you go as an intruder. God did not make hell for us. He made it for the devil and his demons. But if you choose to reject Jesus Christ, you choose to stay in Satan's kingdom. If that's your choice, you will spend eternity with him and his demons. Amen. That's up to you. There's two kingdoms. You can't ride the fence on this either. If you're lost, you're in the kingdom of Satan. But you can leave that kingdom and enter into the kingdom of Christ by making him your Lord and Savior. And if you're not saved, I pray you'll do that today before it's too late. One final thought here this morning. Let's look at the affliction of the woman. Israel is symbolized by this woman. And Israel has been persecuted and afflicted down through the ages. They've endured much sorrow and suffering. I don't think anybody has suffered more persecution than had the Jewish people. No people have been persecuted like they have been. Throughout history, they've been the objects of scorn and hate. I guess it reached its height during World War II, during the Holocaust. 6 million Jews in Europe were systematically slaughtered by the Nazis. You've seen these pictures. When the Allied forces came in, this is what they found. The survivors of the Holocaust, skin and bones. And many of these did not survive. Even after they were liberated, some of these were so far gone that they died. One of the officers who entered into these concentration camps, one was named Colonel William Quinn with the 7th Army. He wrote this about the concentration camp that they liberated. He said, "Dachau will stand for all time as one of the history's most gruesome symbols of inhumanity. There our troops found sights, sounds, and stenches horrible beyond belief. Cruelty so enormous as to be incomprehensible to the normal mind." This shows how evil man can be to do this to a group of people just because of their nationality. No other reason. Adolf Hitler, no doubt, was demon-possessed. There's no doubt in my mind he was demon-possessed. He was a type of the Antichrist who will be Satan-possessed. But the hatred for these people, folks, it's inspired in hell. The reason for anti-Semitism is you just trace it back to the devil. He inspires all of this hate for the Jewish people and for Israel. They are a hated people. So, preacher, why does the devil hate Israel so much? Because they gave us Jesus. Satan hates Jesus. And he hates Israel because they produced Jesus. He hates the New Testament church because we proclaim Jesus. Now don't ever forget the devil hates you, child of God. He hates your proclamation of the gospel. He will fight against it. But we're on the winning side. Amen. All out through history you see the devil trying to destroy Israel to prevent the coming of the Messiah. Go back to Pharaoh, the time of Moses, when he had all the male babies of the Israelites thrown into the Nile River and killed. That was inspired of the devil. The devil did not know how soon Messiah would come. So he thought, well, maybe it's time through Moses and through this people, Messiah will come. So I'll just have all the babies killed and maybe prevent Messiah from coming. There was Haman. You ever read the book of Esther? Haman tried to destroy all the Jews in the empire. Here's another picture of, I think he's a picture of Hitler. He's an Old Testament Adolf Hitler. Name is Haman. God used Esther to save her people from annihilation. Even today, the Muslim nations have such a hatred for Israel. It's really hard to understand, isn't it? Why they hate this nation so much? It's inspired of the devil. God is using them to try to destroy the nation of Israel. to again prevent the coming of Christ. Wipe out Israel, and God will not be able to keep his promises. It's not going to happen, folks. God is going to keep Israel safe. Even when Jesus was born, he was waiting for the Messiah to be born so he could devour it. Remember King Herod killing the babies of Bethlehem? What was that all about? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. King Herod found out about it. He sent his soldiers. They killed every child under the age of two in Bethlehem. But God had warned Joseph and Mary, and they got Jesus out and went to Egypt. Satan was behind that. Satan's behind all of this, folks. He's behind the Inquisition. He's behind the Crusades. He's behind the terrorists today that are destroying, or trying to destroy Israel and killing Jews. God's people are very abused. By the way, Allah, as far as I'm concerned, is Satan himself. I really believe it. Allah is not just another name for Jehovah, folks. Don't believe that lie. Allah is a false god. And if anything, Satan is behind all of that. So there'll be a hated people. But second, there'll be a hidden people. It says the woman fled into the dark, to the wilderness, verse 6. For 3.5 years she will be preserved by God during the second half of the tribulation. In the first half, the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel, but he breaks that halfway through. In the middle of the 7-week period, he breaks that covenant and begins to persecute Israel. I don't have time, but you make a note. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 22, Jesus describes this. Might jot that down. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 22. I don't have time to read that to you, but look at that. There's a place that God has prepared for the Jews during the tribulation period. Some believe that this place will be Petra, which is in Jordan, next door to Israel. Surrounded by towering mountains. How many of you ever been to Petra? I know Betty and I have. Donna. When you enter in through the sick, there's a long valley that leads you into it. We walk through this, and this leads into the ancient city of Petra, which is actually carved out of the side of a mountain. I mean, it's amazing architecture that they accomplished back in the ancient days. And you can visit this place. Now, if you ever get a chance, go. It's amazing what you'll find there. But it's a naturally protected place by all these mountains. The only way to get in there is through that long valley, or not a valley, but they call it a sick that goes through there. So it'd be easily protected from any invaders. And some think, well, maybe this is where God is going to send the Israelites to protect them from the Antichrist. And matter of fact, back in the 1920s, an American by the name of W.E. Blackstone had heard about Petra, and he was so convinced that this is where God would protect the Jews, he invested thousands of dollars into buying Bibles, and he took boxes of Bibles into the caves of Petra so that the Jews would have something to read while they wait 3 years for the coming of Christ. I guess we're still there. Boxes of Bibles have been stored in the caves of Petra for this time. Now, I don't know if it's going to be Petra or not. I don't know what God is going to do, where he's going to hide them. It may be all supernatural. But God is going to preserve these people. Satan's behind the persecution of the Jews. God's behind the preservation of the Jews. So there'll be a hidden people, and there'll be a helped people. There will be some that will feed them, and take care of it. No, like during World War II, many Jews were hidden and cared for by Gentiles. And it may be that there's going to be some during this time that God will use to preserve the people of Israel. But folks, there's a spiritual war going on. There's a war between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. Now, it may look to you like the devil's winning, but he's not. We know how it's going to end. We win. I'm talking about we, disciples of Christ, win. Satan hates he hates Jesus, and he hates the Jews. Hey, I love Jesus, and I love the Jews. I love for no other reason than Satan hates them. I think we're a good, we ought to love what Satan hates and hate what Satan loves. I think you're on safe ground if you do that. But today, Israel is surrounded by millions of Muslims who hate them and want to destroy them. Matter of fact, I read that the maps that are made in Muslim countries do not recognize Israel. On their maps, it says Palestine, not Israel. They refuse to recognize this nation. But make no doubt about it, Satan's behind it all. Satan's behind all of the anti-Semitism that we see today. Amen. We're going to prepare for an invitation on him, Brother Sam, if y'all come. Yeah, the Bible begins with the story of a woman, a serpent, and the seed. The woman was Eve, the serpent, that dragon, the devil. The seed, the promised seed, was Jesus Christ. Do you see how this kind of comes full circle? We're back to the woman, the dragon, and the Messiah. It's all going to end at Armageddon. This great conflict will finally end when we get to the Armageddon. But folks, the end is coming. Again, I ask, are you ready? If the Lord should come this week to take his people out, would you be with us? Would you be called up? If you're not saved, take advantage of this opportunity. Well, let's stand together and let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer.